KPDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House's indirect talks between Israel and Hamas will begin in Egypt tomorrow after Hamas agreed to President Trump's terms that would lead to the release of hostages, and the IDF has stopped offensive fighting in Gaza. But many issues still outstanding, including starvation in Gaza. Antoine Renard with the World Food Program there says,
I think that the most important for the humanitarian is now that all the corridors, all the crossings will be allowing us to reach people in a proper manner.
Republican senators holding a retreat this weekend in Georgia, but the government shutdown continues. Republicans say they won't talk until Democrats vote to end the shutdown. Democrats say they're trying to stop cuts to Medicaid. The Justice Department called the 8-year prison sentence for the person who plotted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh woefully insufficient, says it will appeal. And attorneys for Sean Combs say they'll appeal his 50-month sentence on two prostitution-related convictions. This is ABC News. The WNBA Finals opened last night as the Vegas Aces beat the Phoenix Mercury by 3 to win game 1 of the best of 7, but the league's commissioner has been facing criticism brought to a head by Minnesota star Nafisa Collier. ABC's Ike Ajachi has more on the firestorm surrounding Kathy Engelbert.
The Minnesota Lynx player didn't hold back at her end-of-season press conference, describing the league's leadership as the worst in the world. Players across the league rallied behind Collier, calling for accountability and change, also pointing to other persistent issues like uneven pay and player marketing. Now, Engelbert responding, acknowledging there is work to be done.
We value feedback. We listen to criticism.
Engelbert saying that the league and players union are meeting next week to discuss a new collective bargaining agreement.
Arthur Jones, a former NFL player, the older brother of UFC star John Jones, has died. He was 39 years old. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matnera. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
92.7 WMDX, Madison's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. The contested case hearing over Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline has concluded in Madison, where environmental advocates and the Bad River Band are challenging state permits for the project. Farmers' advocates warn that denying the permits could cut off a vital propane supply for rural communities. Opponents say the pipeline threatens waterways, wetlands, and tribal lands. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Environmental groups and the Bad River Tribe are challenging permits the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued to Enbridge in November for rerouting the pipeline. Nate Zimdars with Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation emphasizes what's at stake for farmers who depend on propane, a byproduct from Line 5.
Oftentimes, our farmers are forgotten about in conversations like this. Just think about the food that's getting put on your table. It's got to come from somewhere. It comes from our farmers who are working really hard during this time of year and are dependent on that energy.
He emphasizes farmers are already experiencing the strains of the federal government shutdown and difficult economic conditions. Opponents of the pipeline are just as determined, saying rerouting Line 5 would be detrimental to the environment, increasing water contamination and threatening cultural resources. Without permit approval, the line would have to shut down, and Zimdars says there are currently no viable alternatives. While much of the opposition has focused on the environment, environmental impacts, Zimdars believes the DNR has conducted thorough studies to mitigate these concerns. The project would affect about 200 waterways and more than 100 acres of wetlands. An administrative law judge is expected to issue a final decision in the case. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Mad City. Biking through blizzards since forever. 92.7 WMDX.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today and warm. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 64. Breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Sunday night, chance of showers and storms, a low of 57. Showers and storms again for Monday with a high of 69.
Right now, it's 74.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Monday morning, it's the return of Madison singer-songwriter Art Paul Schlosser.
And check out the John and Gordy Ice Locator app.
Coming soon.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Connecting dots, not just talking points. WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, Madtown, it is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM, WDMX. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, and today I have a co-host, one of my favorite Black women in leadership in Madison, Wisconsin. Who the heck are you?
My name is Dana Pelabon.
Okay, Dana Pelabon. Doesn't that sound like a superhero name? Pelabon, 007, number 8. So anyway, I invited Dana to join me today on the Black Conversion Show. We're going to talk about Black women leadership, and specifically in Dane County, and how our white progressives and everyone who's running all of our systems and like government bodies play into the destruction and like the I don't really have a word for it. What would you call it, Dana?
Play into the stereotypes, the characterizations, the how it is that we have been portrayed without our permission and our input. They play into all of that.
Yeah, and how I feel like even in this new environment we exist in, like I believe the environment was already out there. The white supremacy, it's just loud now. And I also feel like it's giving people more permission to be racist. Before, it was like people were kind of tiptoeing around their racism and their anti-blackness because they didn't want to be tokenized or identified as anti-black because black power, Black Lives Matter had been trending. And now it's like it's okay to be racist. It's okay to dismiss black work, black bodies, black organizations, black needs, vulnerable populations, because Trump is doing it, right? It's okay to break laws and break rules. It's just messy out here in Dane County, and some of us act like we don't know. So we're going to talk about it today, but before we get to talking about it, I'm going to do a check-in with my girl, Dana Pelabon. But before we do that, I want to do something different. I want to start off my show today with a spoken word from this black woman. I forgot to write her name down because I always do that. Did you get her name, Luke?
The poem is by Two Kids Sim.
Two Kim Sim. I don't know who that is, but it is bomb diggity bomb. It says, the name of the poem is Shout Out to Me. And I want this really to be an episode dedicated to black women. When I first heard it, I felt it, because shout out to me. Shout out to all the black women that are transgressing and transmuting this negative energy and still showing up in light and joy. Shout out to y'all black women for doing the work unapologetically without being moved, because we are moved. And shout out to you, black woman and black women, for being the beginning of time, and never forget that. So go ahead, Luke, play this so we can set the tone for our day, okay?
Shout out to me.
Yeah.
Yep. I made it through adversity and separated from toxicity even when it hurted me. Mm. I stood on all 10 and found support within myself when other people deserted me. Mm. I took L after L, but never let this stop me. Stack them L's up till I got to the top like Tetris taught me. Kept moving till I seen progress. I could have crashed out a million times, but I kept my mind straight. Used the lessons I learned to help navigate similar situations, and finally made it out the cycle to see my elevation. So shout out to me for keeping the faith, for remembering that God got me even when I was looking the devil in the face. Shout out to me for never letting me forget who I was, for staying humble when they disrespected, gave my revenge to the Lord. Shout out to me for developing and accepting for us. Shout out to me for breaking generational curses. For shaking myself awake when I was dozing off on me. When you chosen, the enemy want to keep you asleep. Make sure you never wake up and see you got a destiny so heavy. Demons attack from the east and the west and the north and the south. Be having meetings about taking you out, but I took them battles head on and I'm standing here now. Shout out to me, because I made it through hatred, disguised as admiration. When my mind was infiltrated by Satan, I prayed through it. Shout out to me for staying true to my morals and my beliefs. Shout out to me for staying positive through negativity. For working for what I wanted, nothing was given to me. Set this life out the trenches God gifted to me. But I made the best out of it and kept my faith in the sun when storms was all I seen. I could have crashed out, but I didn't. Now I'm sitting in these days that used to be dreams. Finally, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and so I owe it to myself to give a shout out to me.
Yes. Okay, period, point blank, and period. So again, shout out to all the black women this morning tuned in and listening. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your hostess, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host,
Dana Pelabon.
And we are talking today about black women leadership and the phenomenal work that black women are doing. So shout out to y'all again, because y'all are the bomb diggity. We are the bomb diggity, the beginning of time. And I'm going to remind you that, not the end of time, the beginning of time. This world revolves around us, whether people give you the kudos or not. Sometimes we got to kudos ourselves. So let me go ahead and start checking in with you, black woman. How are you doing and what the heck's been going on?
Ooh, well, I am doing better. So, you know, people who know me may know a little bit about what's going on. I've been very outspoken about some medical issues I've had lately as a woman going through menopause. And I recently had a hysterectomy and healing from that. And also noting as a black woman, and as somebody that is leading spaces, I am unable to heal in the way that I need to heal because work still got to be done.
That right? is true. Yeah, you still got to get the work done.
Still got to get the work done. So I am back to work, probably before I should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, making sure that if I am having pain, I lay myself down. I am learning better to take care of myself because I have friends mm-hmm. like Brandi mm-hmm. and April and Sabrina mm-hmm. that are always yelling at me.
Yes, sit your butt down.
To say mm-hmm. you need to sit down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I am working through self-care and understanding what that means in the context of somebody that is always expected
to be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Okay, well, I'm glad for you to share that. Now, Luke, my white boy, how are you doing?
I'm thankful it's Saturday. It's been a week, but you know,
it's been a week.
We're making it through. It's Saturday.
And where were you at our Harvest Fest, Luke?
I know. With family in town, but next year.
Okay, next year, Mama.
Next year.
All right, I guess I'll forgive Luke. Okay, and for me, I'm okay. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Life be lifing, but I am so deliberate in creating my joy, rooting myself in joy, and I'm just celebrating. Like I said, shout out to me, black woman. Shout out to me, because, oh, Lord, the devil be moving, the liars be lying. Girl, they be making up all kind of stuff, and we ain't even going to give them the time and day. We're going to focus on the conversation we came to have, and that is black woman leadership and black women in leadership. So as a black woman in leadership and someone who has built Urban Triage from the ground up, and I mean literally from the ground up, at my kitchen table with a couple volunteers and just with a hope and a dream, okay, and a passion, we currently have 23 staff and we have 3 office locations, and I have to say I'm pretty proud of the work that we do. But part of what is always at the back of the work, or let's just say the front of it, is the white folks who constantly are hating, and no matter what we deliver or how amazing we do, they hate. Even the white people who say we're on the same team be showing up at meetings hating and throwing us under the bus. And you know, I get the calls and I just call people, right? So I'm not even gonna say the person's name, but I gave her a call like, girl, I heard you was throwing me under the bus yesterday, right? And I just want to know what that's about. And her response was, if I did throw you under the bus, it wasn't intentional. And I don't know how you unintentionally throw somebody under the bus.
I think that it is so rote and routine
yeah.
for us to be thrown under the bus that it is a part of the dialogue. Yeah. That is the regular part of the dialogue.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing about it, this conversation was around housing. Now, urban triage is everywhere in housing. We're everywhere, but we're nowhere, meaning that we're doing all the work in the background. And the only time you hear from white people, white counterparts, is when they need a, what do you call them? A fall guy.
Yes.
When they want to point to something not getting done and say, well, it's urban triage. But when you, when it's time to celebrate the work that we do accomplish with the little that we have in the homeless system in Dane County, y'all don't even mention us. Y'all don't invite us to the table. We're not part of the conversation. We're not part of the consideration. Now, this particular conversation, I'm not going to get into details about because it's really not important. I just want to use it as an example of how white people show up as it relates to black leadership. But one of the things I will recognize and celebrate for us is that the folks in the group of people we're talking about have been part of this other organization for years and hadn't been housed. We end up, you know, getting a contract, working with these group of people and housing like 7 people in 4 months, which is huge when you have people with high barriers that are chronically homeless and that no one will house. No one will sign a lease with them. And Urban Triage is able to do that because of our relationships with landlords and regional managers and people that we've developed these relationships with. But in conversations, people will say, well, Urban Triage isn't doing their job, but you've had the job for 3 years and what have you done, right?
Exactly.
So it's really weird that people do that to us, but is it weird, Dana?
It's, again, it is rote and routine. So mm-hmm. you have organizations that have been doing homeless services for decades.
Decades.
And housing hasn't gotten better. Housing mm-hmm. has actually gotten worse. We mm-hmm. have less stock. We have less availability for people. And the fact that you are getting any guff when you have less money to run the programs, mm-hmm. the programs are already losing funding, mm-hmm. and then you should miraculously find housing
yep.
that people haven't been able to find for years.
Years. And mind you, we do, right? So shout out to Eco Suites. Eco Suites. Is it Eco Suites? Eco Suites. Anyway. They're like this hotel, one bedroom, long stay hotel. We are partnering with them, and I'm super excited about that, to offer folks who, again, are hard to house. And a lot of our folks are on sex registries. So a lot of our folks suffer from mental wellness challenges. Some people are afraid to live on their own because they've been on the in the streets for so long. And then we have other agencies that say things like, oh, these folks want to be homeless. They don't want to be homeless. They want to have a community. And sometimes when you have a community, even if you're on the street, that feels better than being alone.
Yes.
Okay. So I and it just bothers me that we don't understand humans and the humanity of people. And we don't understand how our brains work or our nervous system work or the side effects of trauma. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, you know, with your girl, your favorite Black woman, where you love to hate, hate to love. That's me, Brandi Grayson, co-host Dana Pelabon, talking about Black women leadership. I started off talking about the work that Urban Triage does in housing and how Urban Triage is often the fall guy for people when it comes to housing, right? We've only been doing it for a short amount of time, but for some reason, white people think that we're going to come and wave a magic wand and fix it all. Isn't that what they do to us? Aren't we like the superhero magicians?
We are the superhero magicians. Mm-hmm. Because here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. We figure it out.
Yeah, we do.
And mm-hmm. and this is the rub when you have people who have the expectations. We have no choice but to meet those expectations.
Yeah, that's real.
Because us not meeting that expectation means that we lose jobs. Mm-hmm. We lose our homes. Mm-hmm. So the expectation for us to be beyond excellent, mm-hmm. to do work that nobody else has done. Mm-hmm. And we rise to it.
Don't we?
Because we have always had to in this country.
Didn't we? Ain't we? All that. Shout out to you, Black woman and Black women doing the work, not only in leadership, but in your worlds, in your homes. Like, I just don't, I want to yell sometimes at white people and say, you don't even know what it takes to wake up as a Black person. And I also want to shout at Black people who are in these institutions that treat Black people like white people treat Black people, as you don't understand the flight or the environment of Blackness. Like, what is happening? Or you're regurgitating the narratives of whiteness and reading white books and white psychology about children that are does not look like your children. Because I want to talk about that, too, here on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM, MDX with your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host for the day,
Dana Pelabon.
Now, you want to stay tuned because when we come back, we're going to talk about the article that dropped by Sabrina Madison, who's an Alder person. I'm not sure what district she's in. What district she's in?
Well, what Sabrina would say is the best district.
The best district. Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about that and then education for Black children and Black women leadership. We'll be back in a gift.
Because democracy deserves a little airtime. WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, Luke, we see you and hear you with the Beyonce here on 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show with my co-host,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, y'all heard how that dropped on the beat. That's Black Women Excellence and Rhythm, okay? Okay, anyway, before break, we were talking about the phenomenal work of Black people, specifically Black women in Dane County. And if y'all don't know, and you might not be part of the Black community, but if you're paying attention at all, there's Black businesses popping up. There's Black organizations doing amazing things. We have the Black Excellence Center that's going to be opening soon on Park Street, ran by Nehemiah, headed by Pastor G of Fountain of Life Church and his sister and Jason Fields,
who's
Jason
the CEO.
Jason Fields, the CEO. And then I messed up people's name. Okay, anyway, I'm super excited about the Black Excellence Center opening. It's just gonna be everything. Look them up, okay? And also shout out to the Black Hub. I call it the Black Hub, but is it the Black Hub?
It's just the Hub.
Okay, we're gonna call it the Black Hub. And it's ran by Urban League. The focus is Black businesses providing incubation. Is that how you say it? Incubation?
Incubation.
So you see how I messed up the word? Don't worry about it. You knew what I meant.
That's right.
It's a space for Black businesses. They have restaurants. They have, my favorite place is the Rasta Barista, the Jamaican cafe.
My favorite place has the wine and the cupcakes. Oh, yeah, yeah. TaylorMade.
I do like.
I mean, I like me some coffee, but I like me some cupcakes.
It's Nicole. What's the name of her business?
Taylor Nicole.
So anyway, check out the Hub. Check out all the Black people doing amazing thing. Also, shout out to Crash Box, which is a new business ran by Sarah Branch. This particular business is where you go to rage out.
Yes.
And I think it's the best therapy. Come and splash some paint. Come and break some things. Sarah Branch actually was part of one of our Supporting Healthy Black Families work groups, and we did a raging therapy thing, and we got a car, and we beat the car. And Sarah was like, that was one of the best things she did. And then she went on to open a business.
She sure did.
And I love it, because that's exactly what Blackness does.
And
okay?
let's also bring in people like that did Black on State, who did Mad Lit. I mean, we have a lot of really great things happening.
Mayberry, yes. Shout out to all y'all. Shout out to y'all, okay? Shout out to my sisters, as always. I'm getting all my earrings from. Shout out to y'all.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Stephanie, I have spent so much money.
Okay, so shout out.
So much money.
So much, okay? So we are doing big things. So even though, you know, when we get portrayed or people want to talk about us, it's not in the best light always, but we are moving exceptionally in Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County, regardless. So what I want to focus on is this article, though, by Sabrina Madison, an alderperson here in Madison, Wisconsin. She sits on the city council. Come on, Dana, tell us. What did she write about? What did she say?
So, you know, the name of the article is Protecting Black Women's Leadership in a City That Calls Itself Progressive. Mm. And the thing I like about it says it calls itself progressive. Mm. Because the reality is that it is only as progressive as they would like to see their own power established and maintained.
It's only as progressive as those electric Toyotas they drive. Okay, my bad. Okay, go ahead, Dana.
Yes, yes. So she was focusing a little bit on what her experience was dealing with the Dairy Drive encampment.
Oh.
And how it is that she was voting along those lines. Mm. And, you know, this is somebody who has a long history of progressive ideas, business plans, helping people in the community. In addition, as an alder, progressive votes all the way around, but she wasn't voting the way that people wanted on this one issue.
Okay.
And so how progressives then treated her was out the box. And I know what that's like, because the same thing happened to me with the Dane County Jail.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the same thing that happened to me when I ran for alderperson. And the progressive, there is a group called Dane County Progressives, isn't it? And what's the name of their group? It's like a third party Democratic Party, but they control a lot of city council. And I say they control because I think Tag Evans is part of their group.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
When I was running for alder, yes, he was.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so anyway, what happened is I wouldn't support someone who was running for alderperson to become a member of this group because they had did some racist stuff. And I actually don't remember the detail, but it was a white dude. And it might have been Tag, or it might have been someone that was supposed to be progressive but had showed up in spaces anti-Black. And when I identified it and pointed out, their response was, well, we have to hold space and allow people to grow. And I said, well, that's not acceptable for me. And because if we don't hold people accountable for their behavior, like you like to hold Black people accountable for the, you know, for things that we're not even accountable for, then to me, we have a problem. So they decided not to endorse me, which really cost me the election, which is probably the best thing that ever happened. But they're called Dane Progressives. And they're like this group of folks who run stuff in the quiet, of white people who are the loudest all the time when it comes to politics. And I don't know all the politics anymore, because I've been just kind of moving myself in out of that space and focusing on the organization that I run and the people that I serve. But tell us more. That was just me digressing here on Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to the Brandi Grayson Show. Okay. On WMDX 92.7 FM, my co-host today is Dana Pelabon. What else did Sabrina Madison say in that article?
So she wanted to very specifically point out ways that white progressives here use to undermine our leadership. Performance
ahead.
Allyship, weaponizing civility, gaslighting, character attacks, public targeting, erasure, projection of harm, tokenism and co-optation, coded undermining, questioning our tone, professionalism, gatekeeping resources, running us out of town.
Oh, they sure do. They be making, look, I've been tempted to leave y'all, okay?
I mean, I will say it is a struggle.
Yeah.
It is a struggle to be a Black woman in this space.
Yeah, it is. Because y'all just so ugly. And I mean, not ugly like in your face, but ugly in your heart, even with our children, even in the work that we do. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. Sometimes I'm actually lost for words for how people show up, because the more good we do, the more exceptional our work is, the madder people seem to get.
They do. And also let's bring in the fact that certain Black women in leadership receive a higher level of scrutiny. And I like to point out the differences when it has me and you.
Okay.
Because me and you say a lot of the same things.
You know, but you was a little lighter skin.
But I'm a little lighter
skin. You a little lighter skin, a little highlighted.
With a little highlight.
So we're going to talk about that.
To cover the gray.
When we return here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show, the Politics and Tea Show, where we say what needs to be said. And sometimes it don't always feel good. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
WMDX. Less noise, more nuance.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House's indirect talks between Israel and Hamas will begin in Egypt tomorrow after Hamas agreed to President Trump's terms that would lead to the release of hostages, and the IDF has stopped offensive fighting in Gaza. But many issues still outstanding, including starvation in Gaza. Antoine Renard with the World Food Program there says,
I think that the most important for the humanitarian is now that all the corridors, all the crossings will be allowing us to reach people in a proper manner.
Republican senators holding a retreat this weekend in Georgia, but the government shutdown continues. Republicans say they won't talk until Democrats vote to end the shutdown. Democrats say they're trying to stop cuts to Medicaid. The Justice Department called the 8-year prison sentence for the person who plotted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh woefully insufficient, says it will appeal. And attorneys for Sean Combs say they'll appeal his 50-month sentence on two prostitution-related convictions. This is ABC News.
The Brewers postseason is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs today. Here at American Family Field, a sellout crowd, the first in the best of 5-game divisional series. Brewers manager Pat Murphy confirmed that right-handed pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who came back this summer after missing the past 2 years following shoulder surgery, will not pitch this week.
It has nothing to do with his shoulder health. His shoulder's 100% healthy. It's on its way. He's proven that when he's pitched. Now he has an injury. He has a lat injury, and that lat injury, much like a hamstring, has to be treated as such. So he's not going to pitch in this series.
So how do you deal with a lat injury? Brandon Woodruff.
Like I've been told, it's like a hamstring. You get 99%, you feel great. It's that last 1% that can really affect you. So you really just have to make sure it's 100%. When it's 100%, I don't know. I'm trying every day to get to that point as quick as I can.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today and warm. Highs in the mid to upper 80s. Mostly clear tonight, a low around 64. Breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Sunday night, chance of showers and storms, a low of 57. Showers and storms again for Monday with a high of 69.
It's 76 at our studios.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Let's get into the church key real quick here.
Well, and apparently they had shut down to remodel, but now they're just going to finish up the remodeling and reopen.
Because of us? They decided to stay open, right, Gordy?
That's all because of us.
Because of us, yes. Not only that, they want to reopen by August 28th for the first UW Badger football game.
Well,
they're making big plans, man. This is it.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we'll slow it down a little bit, Luke. I feel you. You're trying to tell me my energy too high. All right, here on the Black Conversion Show, you're tuned in to me, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX with my co-host for the day,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, two strong Black women. Prior to the break, we were talking about the differential treatment of Black women in leadership. And no matter how extraordinary you are, the white progressives will always find a reason to tokenize you, to gatekeep, to throw you under the bus directly and indirectly and blame it on a mistake. And how people hate when you are exceptional at what you do. People say, hey, we need Black people. We need representation. We need lived experience. And Urban Triage has literally built the organization rooted in lived experience. And we have definitely built the organization that's powerful, serving our people with the little resources that we have. And instead of people saying that out loud, they say the little things like, oh, we got a complaint that your sign wasn't up. So anyway, I want to talk to you about, continuing the conversation, I want to talk to you about colorism.
Yes.
Why the conversation sounds differently coming from me versus coming from Dana. I've been in rooms with Dana where I've said things, and I'm a smiley Black woman, okay? Because
yes,
I've learned with these white people, I better smile because my tone and my power offends them. So I'm smiling. I always say, I know this is uncomfortable. Let's have these conversations. I'm here for a clearing. I'm all about relationship building. So let's clear this. Let's talk through it. What do you need to feel safe? Because that's what playing chess has taught me in the progressive white spaces. And Dana, though, she actually doesn't say that or act like that. Do you, Dana?
Not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more, Dana.
So, you know, the thing that I have found, and actually one of the reasons why I like going to meetings with Brandi, is because we do say the same things, but Brandi is a heck of a lot nicer than me. But when Brandi speaks, people go out of their way to misunderstand what it is that she is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Literally out of their way. And I have been in meetings because, you know, I am the president of the board of Urban Triage. And I'm very proud of that and very proud of the work that they do. So when I am in my capacity as a board member and I go to a meeting and Brandi is saying all of these really nice words and people are going out of their way to misinterpret, to say things, to not understand. And then I'll just stop the meeting and I'll say,
yep.
Here is what it is that she said. And since you couldn't hear it nice, you're going to hear it from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, we all hear and understand mm-hmm. because it's come out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I actually purposefully am a little condescending and rude
yeah.
because I want them to understand the difference. And I want to show that this is the thing that's happened is that they are listening to my face mm-hmm. because my face is a lighter skin face.
Mm-hmm.
And they unconsciously or consciously view me as less of a threat than Brandi mm-hmm. because Brandi is darker skin and that is not okay. And I will point it out every single time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people known as Black don't understand that dynamic either of colorism. And
no.
they get offended when you point it out. When I point out to my lighter skin brothers and sisters, like the reason that they can hear you is because of your skin tone, not because I'm offensive. And oftentimes people will fall on the side of our white counterparts. Come on, Brandi. Maybe we just need to talk less with your hands and understand that people don't understand racism or your words are too big or your tone is not appropriate.
And I have purposefully not checked my tone.
Because Dana's a beast. She's
well,
a beast.
You know, because here's the reality. People don't check their tone with me.
That's true.
And I have come to the conclusion that in this city that mm-hmm. you have to match energy.
Mm.
And so you come at me, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter if a white man does it,
mm-hmm.
if a black man does it.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
If a white woman does it, and then you add in the tears that happen with women on top of it.
Oh, my God.
So I just go, I'm going to be who I am, because no matter what it is that I do.
You're going to misunderstand me?
You're going to misunderstand me anyway.
Yeah.
And then if I'm in the room with you, they're going to double misunderstand you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sorry. People who are light-skinned,
mm-hmm.
the definition of colorism is not about your harm.
Okay.
It is about harm to darker skin folks.
Yes.
So let's make ourselves really clear about what colorism is, because we have privileges and you cannot erase those privileges just because you are also known as black.
Black. Yeah. Come on now. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, with my co-host today,
Dana Pelavon.
And we're just talking about black women in leadership and all these words that I think that you guys should write down and then look them up and then read about them. And part of this that occurs is the trauma, right? And there's been times where I'm able to hold space for the whiteness. And there's times where I've been able to call on my white translators or my lighter hue brothers or sisters to translate what I am saying. Because when I speak, it's almost like she's saying blah, 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 blah. And then they repeat. I'm like, I didn't even say that.
Right.
That is not what I just said. Am I crazy or are you crazy? You right. You crazy. And a lot of times you have to start doing the reflection to understand what's yours and what's not yours, because people will project their bull crap on you and then blame you for the bull crap that they've created. Anything else you want to say about Sabrina Madison's article, white progressives? Y'all, shout out to my white progressive. Y'all really need to get it together. Y'all need to start y'all a white progressive group that really deals with your anti-blackness and your misogynoir and your hate for dark-skinned black people and black women in particular. Y'all, I can feel the energy as soon as I walk in the room. And there are some white folks who always got my back, and thank God that y'all got my back, because the other white people will eat urban triage alive. So anyway, back to the article.
So the thing that I think that is important is
mm-hmm.
she gives a whole list of good book recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bell hooks. There's Audre
yes.
Lorde, Stacey
mm-hmm.
Abrams, Sensei Bowen. I also want to throw out Dr. Sammy Schock,
mm-hmm.
put her on this list, Black Disability Politics, because let me say also, black folks with disabilities, not seen.
Mm.
LGBTQ black folks,
not seen.
Not seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are things that all of us can learn and can deconstruct, because, you know, one of the important quotes that is in this article in particular is from bell hooks. Black folks who love blackness, that is, who have decolonized our minds and broken with the kind of white supremacist thinking that suggests we are inferior, inadequate, marked by victimization, etc., often find that we are punished by society for daring to break with the status quo.
Mm.
On our jobs, when we express our decolonized standpoint, we are seen as being unfriendly or dangerous.
Mm.
And this is the analysis of black women. You know, people here love to say, listen to black women, but they
trust
aren't
black
actually,
women.
Right, but they ain't actually listening.
Not at all.
You may hear words that come out of our mouth, but that's not the same.
Right.
And black folks also
mm-hmm.
need to listen
yes.
and decolonize our minds
yes.
because sometimes we stand in our own way.
Yes, we do. Amen to that. On 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, where everything's black-centered, black-focused, and blackety-black by the blackest woman in town, okay? And maybe not the blackest, but the blackety, you know what I'm saying? So part of the conversation around racism and addressing it, I met with some black people the other day, and they say, how do you do this? How do you navigate it? Because I'm coming in this black man. I'm not telling y'all people names, but we're talking about him in leadership and how white women come into meetings fetishizing him, sexualizing him,
yeah.
touching his hand and saying things to him. And like, I wouldn't mind if you did it, and their husband's in the other room because he's there trying to get funding for something.
Yes.
Like, it is sick, y'all. Y'all is sick. Like, and the...
Oh, and Brandi, it happens to you and I. Brandi and I will be somewhere, and anytime we are together,
yeah, right,
we have
right.
some older white man that come up
white
to us and,
like...
and will touch us, grab, like, it is,
you're right.
it is wild.
These old white men be ready. Shout out to all the old white men. If you like to write a check, please do so. Send it to 2312 South Park Street, Urban Triage. Attention, Brandy Grayson. We accept checks at any time. If you like us so much, then donate. Continue the support of the work.
Yes, online you can be a monthly donor. Please do so.
Immediately. So part of the conversation I was having with these two beautiful black people is like the strategy. What is the strategy right now? And I'm just going to be real with y'all. My strategy is putting white face on it because I'm tired.
I mean, honestly, my strategy is survival.
Mm-mm. I'm not surviving no more. I'm thriving. Forget that, Dana.
You know what? I'm tired.
Exactly.
I just turned 50, y'all. It is a different. You know, I'm a few years older than you.
Yeah, just a few.
I'm a few years tireder than you. And you know, for me in particular, because I ran for office and because that exposed me to a thing
different
that was
level.
That
yeah.
was a different level, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, it was during the presidential election, which then amped up
yes.
the amount of racism and sexism mm. that came to my face.
Yeah.
I'm in a different place of being tired.
Mm.
And I have to, as a black woman, really protect my peace now.
Yes.
I've worked real hard to protect my peace. I work real hard to surround myself with black women that I trust.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you don't see me at a lot of places
yeah.
right now. Because that is the restoration that has to happen
yeah.
after that trauma. So right now I'm in that survival mode.
Yeah.
Will I begin to thrive? I'm starting, right?
Yeah.
But it is a cyclical thing that happens for us because we have to go through trauma to push through to this next level, right?
Amen. Yeah.
And then we thrive at that next level. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go through whatever the next thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody experiences that on some level, but the compounded trauma for
yeah.
us, in addition to the barriers that exist, the barriers that are put in place, the purposeful harm
yeah.
that comes
very
to us.
Very intentional. Yeah.
Yes, intentional. That brings it to a different space
yeah.
When you are a black woman in a space.
Yeah. And again, this is the Black Conversion Show, focusing on black with your girl, Brandy Grayson. So part of this conversation for me is like the lack of grace and the lack of humanity given to black women. Y'all really think we superheroes. I had someone, you know, people call me every day on Facebook, emails, personal texts, WhatsApp, and I respond as much as I can. I'm back-to-back in meetings. I'm putting out fires in between my meetings. And if you ever followed me around for the day, you'll probably be like, how do you even do this? And then I'm responding to my staff who are constantly in need of affirmation, edification, having questions answered, of course. We do hire the people we serve, which means that they're coming with their own trauma, their own family life issues. So I'm helping them navigate that, navigating my life being in an abusive relationship. But most people don't even believe that black women can be abused. So then there's lack of sympathy and empathy. And then people expect you to, because you stand in a certain position, to never even allow yourself to be abused. You know what I mean? It's like this level of expectation, whereas white women are given grace when they're abused because you can actually see their humanity. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you. What can we do to support you? As with someone like myself, it's like, I can't believe you allowed yourself to be in that and you should be ashamed of yourself. You see the different framework of that. And what I want to encourage people known as black to do, and just forget the white people, forget the white systems. We have to be the people who extend grace to us. We have to stop vomiting on one another. Even if you don't like each other, you don't like something someone's doing or saying, like we have to be the ones that understand like what trauma looks like and what it means to have to be a person, a black person in a black body carrying generational trauma. So I'm not just carrying my trauma. I'm carrying my mama's trauma, my mama's mama's trauma, all the way back to enslavement. And part of our work as a body of people is to break those generational curses and show up differently. But we can't do that if we're not even acknowledging that those things exist.
Right. And there is a dehumanization
yes.
of black women. But mm-hmm. that is a part of the system.
Yeah.
We have been dehumanized
so
when
much.
We were
mm-hmm.
bred,
mm-hmm.
right? When we were the people that had to take care of people, when there were laws passed that ensured that we could not stay home with our children,
mm-hmm.
but had to go to work to take care of white folks' children.
And put your white baby on my black that you didn't believe is good enough. Ain't that something? So you let your baby suck on an animal, but we'll talk about that later. All right, you're tuned into the Black Convergence Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
Dana Pelabon.
Return in a minute.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Every step you take at the Dane County Walk to End Alzheimer's brings hope to families affected by dementia. Join WMDX on October 5th at Warner Park as we walk to raise funds for care, support, and research. Free registration at alz.org/walk.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we are back here on the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host today,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, as you guys have been tuning in, we've been talking about Black women leadership. Please find Madison 365 article by Sabrina Madison. She breaks it down. She is an Alder person. You can also find the link on the recording on live or whatever that is on Civic Media, on Black Conversion Show, on Brandi Grayson Facebook. Check it out. Check out the article. We talked about colorism, misogyny, racism, all the isms, progressive, fake white, progressive racism. And I remember Martin Luther King saying, like, we really messed up. And I can't remember the exact quote, but our greatest, I'm about to mess it up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Luke, you know?
Is it I think I know.
What is it, Luke?
The biggest concern that he had was not it was not the racist, but the quiet moderate.
Moderates.
The white moderates.
The white moderates, the liberals that, and the progressive who don't get what you are doing or get how white supremacy is indoctrinated and it's insidious. It's in our blood. It's in our bodies. It's in the character, our characterizations of self and others. So anyway, we're going to move past that. What I also wanted to talk about a little bit is how people known as Black are unable to see our own trauma. As you guys know, Messiah is in fifth grade. He's been homeschooled most of his life. This year, he's struggling. Like, he's struggling big time. And it's one of the things I was afraid of. Last year, he had an amazing teacher, Mrs. Rodriguez. She was such a loving teacher. Like, yeah. She exuberated love and encouragement and exuberated the gift of being a teacher. Like, there's people who are teachers who love it. And there's people who are teachers who don't even like their jobs.
Yes.
And I feel like Messiah is in a space where he's surrounded by people who don't like their jobs. And I say that because I never see them smiling. I walk in on them occasionally. I come into the front desk. People are just mad. Even the Black lady that sits at the desk is mad. She's never happy. I come in like, good morning. She's like, yeah, whatever. Like, girl, what you mad at me for? Like, y'all really need to fix y'all attitudes. And this is to all Black people, right? Because part of the trauma is that it's so embedded in our nervous system that it comes spilling out of us. And the thing that I teach my staff and I teach everybody as I do this personal leadership and development work, I'm creating me, creating you, creating me. So however you think you are and whoever you think you're being, you project on me and then I project it back. So whatever energy you give in those children, they're giving it back to you. And it's causing my baby not to be okay. Like, he is a kinetic being. Like, anything he feels, he says it, and he's yes. expressive, yes. and he's not one of the people that is just going to be quiet. And he gets that very honestly from his mother. So the other day, he's sitting in class, a teacher and his idea is treating his friend wrong. And guess what he tells him? You're treating my friend unfairly, and I don't like the way you're talking to him.
Yep.
And as a nine-year-old in a fifth grade, that's not acceptable. What's your thoughts, Dana?
So, you know, I have a son who is similar to Messiah and very much like his mother, mm-hmm. Where if he didn't like something, he was very vocal. Mm-hmm. I will also say I spent almost every day at MMSD when my son was in school.
Yeah.
You know, my son is on the autism spectrum and, yeah. you know, being able to fight for his services, being able to make sure that he was seen. And the reality is that, you know, on some levels he was failed.
Yeah.
There are spaces where his learning gap was so great because mm-hmm. what they were concerned about
was behavior.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a child that has a disability even, and, you know, Messiah does not have that piece, but the focus on especially young Black boys yep. and behavior in our schools has been detrimental.
Yeah.
And how even, you know, I remember back in kindergarten, my son got into his very first fight. There was a little boy that was bullying him. And he's not the only person that bullied him, but mm-hmm. this was one that got into a fight. And then they kicked that little kid out. And guess what? That little kid was a dark-skinned Black kid.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we don't have to do that.
That wasn't the answer.
That wasn't the answer. Mm-hmm. So for me, the answer was I wanted my son in a different class.
Yeah.
So that little boy could stay put. And then my son went to a different space because I felt more comfortable with him in a different class. Because there were several things that were happening, but they were only focusing on
the Black boy.
That little Black boy.
Yeah. That's real. And I feel like that. I feel so sad for Messiah. I want to pull him out so bad. One of my things is I just need to find someone. If you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson, and you're a certified teacher, educator, and, you know, preferably a Black man, and you want to homeschool or do some schooling with my son, reach out, okay? Find me on Facebook, find me anywhere, because I am really at the point where I think he just needs to be homeschooled again. I just feel like he's not emotionally safe, and when kids aren't emotionally safe, they act up, and that's the thing. Like, we're not identifying the root of it, because I know my son isn't a bad kid, but I also know that he don't take crap from people, and the way that people talk at our kids, the way the structure is of the school is just about behavior, and not relationships. See, the thing about people known as Black, in order for us to thrive, we have to feel safe in our community. We have to feel safe in relationship to the people that are surrounding us. We are not like white people. They can work in the office, not like each other, and still work and come and be fine and not be emotionally anything. And I'm telling you, if you read the books by Black psychiatrists, they tell us this. Like, we have a different, deeper need for community safety and relationships. And it's a must that we practice relationships. relating to one another to survive and thrive in the context of white supremacy. Any last words?
Yeah. So when we think about outside of the school system, and there are spaces where this does happen. And I actually just interviewed somebody this past week on my radio show.
Okay.
Where we talked a lot about this alternative education that started in New Orleans. And it is run on very specific principles that are rooted in blackness. And it is rooted in joy and rooted not in, they rewrote the books, they rewrote the curriculum, they made sure that blackness itself was centered in every space.
I love it.
So
that's the key.
Those are the things that joy. That we need is to surround our kids with joy, because it's coming from everywhere,
y'all. That's the antidote. Is joy, love, relating, y'all. We just do better, black people. Heal your hearts. Get some therapy. Read some books. Study the psychiatrists who study you. Don't try to give black people the white version of education. So anyway, we're out. We're out of time like always. Join us next week. Maybe we'll continue the conversation on black education and bring a black educator into the studio next Saturday. Thank you for joining us on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Peace, love, and hair grease.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A renewed push to free all remaining hostages in Gaza after Hamas officials announced they've agreed to some of the U.S. proposal to end the war in Gaza. President Trump in a post says Hamas must move quickly to release the hostages, quote, or else all bets will be off. Sources tell ABC News Israel's prime minister has instructed the IDF to stop all offensive operations in Gaza. And in Tel Aviv, families and friends of Israeli hostages demonstrating in front of Israel's military headquarters, demanding the government don't falter on a deal.
The people of Israel want to bring all hostages home and end this war.
Peace talks scheduled for tomorrow in Egypt. It is day four of the federal government shutdown. Lawmakers are not in session this weekend.
The Senate returns on Monday while the House is out next week. So that means for at least a few more days, millions of federal workers remain in limbo, unsure when they'll get paid or even if they'll have jobs to return to.
ABC's Selena Wang. This is ABC News.
The commission.